We kick off hour number two of the program. This segment brought to you by Wave Tech Medical. For chronic pain, neuropathy in your feet, or erectile dysfunction, check out wavetechmedical.com and catch the wave. You can get a free private consultation right there through the website. It's wavetechmedical.com. No pills, no injections, no surgery, no adjustments. It's their acoustical wave therapy at wavetechmedical.com. Catch the wave. Talking college football playoff. I think we've covered it from all angles. Although I wanted to get, I hadn't been checking the some of the Twitter feedback, so I wanted to get to some of that. Somebody said LSU's being dinged for their poor second half defense. Why they're not ahead of Ohio State.
Yeah, they are, because they play guys in the second half because they're up so much, and then the other team scores some points, and it doesn't look as impressive. Seems stupid.
Yeah. I appreciate Vol Nation Recruiting sending us the simulations, and it did have Oklahoma. Oklahoma simulated a whole lot better than Utah, and Ohio State even simulated better than LSU.
Is that not going to just be based on points scored, though, or the ability to score points?
I think it's more of a KenPom thing. It's more of a efficiency, like yards per play, and points per play is one stat that it's kind of like point per possession in basketball. And as I've mentioned, Oklahoma has been one of the best teams ever in those stats. Right. But they turn the football over so much, and it changes. It makes games where they should win going away close, and it made the one game they lost a loss. So that's kind of – it's really hard to rate turnovers in football, because turnovers in basketball are at least a larger stat. There's a lot of possessions. Every team turns the ball over sometimes in every game in basketball, whereas in football – you know, a three or four turnover game is a mountain compared to a zero or one turnover game. And depending on where those turnovers happen,
right?
You know, in basketball, you might turn it over, which leads to a run out, or turn it over, which out of bounds. But typically those things even out with the other team a little bit more, you know, so it's kind of a whole different animal. Alex says, have you guys watched Utah these past couple weeks? They're a really complete team, and I think them beating Oregon handily is pretty likely. And I wouldn't be surprised if they keep it close with LSU or Ohio State. I think for a lot of people, it's just hard to wrap their head around Utah being good. Although, I mean, we've seen this before. We've tried to say, well, Washington, I mean, they're real balanced and they're solid. And Michigan State, that defense. I mean, we've done this before, but that's kind of, I mean, that's in a way that's unfair to Utah. Like, you don't know until you know. Like, I mean, nobody thought Clemson could just trounce Alabama last year either. So.
Yeah, you're also comparing, like, Michigan State to Alabama instead of who was either fifth or sixth.
And true. Well, I was saying keeping it close with LSU, okay. State part of that statement. But I see what you're saying. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, at least these teams get another chance to kind of showcase it. I feel like if Utah's ahead of Oklahoma right now, if Utah destroys Oregon, wins by 17, it's not close. Like, it's got to be hard for Oklahoma to jump, right? I mean, Oklahoma would have to really beat Baylor, like something nasty.
And that's the thing with Oklahoma's inconsistent play. I don't know that they could.
Can their defense even hold a team to single digits?
They did in the second half. So that's the thing. If you get second half Oklahoma, then they're in. You taking your first bite?
I was about to. You didn't get me soy sauce, did you?
You don't get soy sauce. It's a wasabi challenge. Also, you don't have to eat it with chopsticks. You can just paste it right in there if you want to.
Damn good.
Okay. You can eat it slow? All right. It's kind of boring.
Do we really need his mouth?
No, we don't.
Sound effects?
No. I was hoping he'd just eat it like one packet at a time.
It was the first bite.
I'm aware. Yeah, that's the idea. Here we go with AV's.
Talking to you.
Milking.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing us to do the radio show. You got to make it seem so dramatic.
Seriously. Well, I think we've covered it. Clemson's a huge favorite to beat Virginia. Most of the other games are around a touchdown. LSU over Georgia, Oklahoma over Baylor, And Utah, the favorite over Oregon.
6.5. Surprising number for me.
If you want to build a good championship parlay, like Billy Williford has set up, go to my bookie, the official sports book of Fan Run Radio.
I'm rethinking the Oregon-Utah game now.
Alex has got you worried, huh?
I think Utah's a better team, but it just feels like something crazy will happen, right? Like, it just feels like Oregon will win, the Pac-12 will get left out again. It just always happens. It's making me nervous.
Does Kyle Whittingham finally jump Utah, or is it just made for life there? Is it just fit for life?
Well, it feels like making the playoff at Utah is probably as far as you can go.
Right? He's been there, what, since 2005, whenever Urban left?
Yeah, like, does...
It's kind of like a Chris Peterson.
I don't know. Maybe
Washington.
He just wants to be there. I don't know.
Didn't he play college ball there?
I think so.
I don't know.
Don't quote me on that. I'm not sure.
What about USC keeping Clay Helton?
Yeah, that was...
We'll talk about some embattled coaches, and then we'll shift to a certain basketball
thing
that happened next segment in that same realm.
No, yeah, absolutely.
No, he played at BYU.
Close enough.
That's weird. Holy War. Go to the other team. How about that? They so poo-poo.
That's why it's such a good fit in Utah.
They so poo-poo.
Same type of culture. Understands the players.
Maybe even more so. But Clay Helton keeping the job. What is that? What do you think? Things just fell through within some other big names? They are ranked, aren't they? Aren't they currently ranked?
22nd or 23rd.
Does that mean Urban's not maybe they call and ask. He's like, yeah, I'm going to take one more year off.
I'm good.
Just bring him back, and then that way you can fire him next year if I change my mind.
I don't know. It felt like, what are you doing, though, by bringing him back? You're delaying the inevitable by 1 year. Did Urban say, I can't this year, but next year?
Who's been the most embattled coach to, like, I mean, there's what, Mike Krzyzewski and Dabo Sweeney? Is that it? And, like, all of college sports, like, been almost fired at one school, gone on to become a legend? Am I missing anybody else? Because I had the same thought you did. Like, what is the best case scenario here? Like, is there in what world does Clay Helton turn it around and win a national championship at USC in 3 years?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No, like, it's not. No, it's just not going to happen. I mean, I it has to be at that specific school.
Yeah.
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 Orgeron.
Because
weren't they thinking about firing him a couple years ago? Like, this guy's not going to get us. And then he changed all the offensive staff. I mean, he's got to win, you know, a couple more titles, I think. But he's on, at least on the list of possibilities.
I like that.
Gus Malzahn's always on.
Yeah, Gus Malzahn. He wins just enough to keep his job. But you also know that he can get you to a national championship and win one.
Yeah, but he'd be fired because you're just kind of tired of where he is and he's not going to get
you
over the hump. I feel like Clay Helton is – kind of like people have proven he doesn't.
He's an 8-4, 9-3, 10-2 on like the best year coach, I think. But you're also at USC, like that's kind of the expectation for.
I mean, really, Dabo doesn't really fit. I mean, he only had the one down
year. And they weren't. It was year two, right?
Yeah, it was 2.5. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're asking coaches that just.
It's his question. I'm not really sure what he's asking.
So won't make it, and then they turn it around at that same school. Right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and really not ones that have done – like Brian Kelly was good at Notre Dame, got really bad at Notre Dame, then brought him all the way back. But, like, Clay Helton doesn't –
He was one. Like, they were thinking about firing him after that 4-8 year, and then he brings him back, and they go to the playoff the next year.
I mean, how good –
But one down year is not what we've seen from Clay Helton. Like, he's just consistently, you know, bleh.
Yeah.
He's cold mashed potatoes.
Yeah,
like,
Clay Helton went 5-4, 10-3, 11-3, 5-7, 8-4.
11-3 was his best year.
10-3 and 11-3.
The 10-3 year, they somehow finished like in the top five. So I don't remember who their losses were. They won the Rose Bowl. Maybe they just were they bad early and then finished strong. I don't know. So I mean, they've been up there with him, but not really with his recruits necessarily. It seems like the more recruits he gets in, the worse they get.
Yeah. Well, this
We've
year
seen
too,
that
though.
To guys
I mean,
too.
Weren't they down to their third string quarterback?
Yes,
yeah, I mean that hurts. String. But again, like that's one of those things where if you're an athletic director, you have to look at that and say, okay, good job, but how good were we with our starter? And I think they had still already lost a game or two.
2016 was the year that they started the season off against Alabama, got beat 52-6. Then they lost to then-ranked number 7, Stanford.
That's when they switched quarterbacks.
Well, they got beat by Utah by 4 with Darnold as the quarterback, but then they won the rest of the games.
Because they started Darnold.
You're right.
Yeah. I knew there was something that year where they were like, oh, they've made the change, and it's a big – and it was bringing in Darnold, right?
Blake Barnett started for Alabama, and they made the switch to Hurts in that game.
Like, lickety-split, and then he started lighting them up. That was the one where Saban was furious after the game, and they won by 40.
Orgeron was 6-2 in the first partial year, then 9-4, 10-3, now he's 12-0. So he, like – I know – Clay Travis comes to mind as somebody that during the 9-4 year was like, yep, see, Orgeron, this is a terrible hire. But really, he hasn't – I mean, he's only gotten better.
I'll give Orgeron a lot of credit. I mean, when he was hired, I think we all kind of thought perfect fit culturally for LSU, not sure that he's going to be able to break the mold enough to do what it takes to win. And then he went out and got – well, he fired his off – well, he brought in Canada, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fired Canada. Promoted Emsinger, which we all thought was a nightmare, but then you go get this guy from the Saints, you go get Joe Burrow in a transfer, and you now have a quarterback, a good guy calling plays, and the same LSU athletes all across the field that you've always had. It's like you brought in some brains with Burrow and that coach, and now you're more than just an athletic football team.
Makes sense. Well, there was an interesting college basketball final last night.
Feels good to be right a lot.
The ACC Big Ten Challenge happened, so there were some big games in college basketball, but that's not what got Tennessee fans the most fired up. We'll hit that on the flip side. It's Konzo Martin. Hoo-wee.
Back.
Next. Welcome back into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. I mean, you truly hate to see it. Last night, college basketball, ACC Big Ten Challenge is going on, so there's some big games. Louisville beat Michigan, Duke beat Michigan State. Not a good night for the state of Michigan. However, that was not what had Tennessee fans glued to college basketball last night, as one of the low...
Ho!
Man, it was the LSU broadcast when a guy said this, but he called it like, let's call this what it is. This is just a pay-to-play game or something like that, where, you know, the big school pays the small school to come in, make sure they get a win. That worked out in the LSU game as they paid New Orleans to come in and they won 90-54. It did not work out in Columbia, Missouri, where Konzo Martin's Missouri Tide of Geist. Where Konzo Martin,
thanks to the fight of Geist,
and his Missouri Tigers paid Charleston Southern to come in to Columbia, Missouri, and play a basketball game. It was 28-23 at halftime, and while Charleston Southern had led to start the game, Missouri had, you know, gotten their stuff together and taken a 5-point lead into the break. All seemed fine and dandy to the tens of people watching this game. Did you see the crowd? It was horrendous.
Program killer.
Second half began, and Charleston Southern... Keep in mind, they are ranked in the 300s, according to KenPom, in all of college basketball. Charleston Southern put up 45 second-half points against that Konzo Martin defense and wins it going away 68-60.
I don't want to say I told you so, but Pat Forty, Myron Metcalf, Dana O'Neill, I told you so. He's not very good.
They had 7,894 people. That's registered attendance.
That's sold tickets.
Yeah.
It's Vanderbilt. The
place was half full. I don't – like, there's losing – there's losing a non-conference game that you should win, mm-hmm. and then there's this. I came in this morning and I told Davey Hudson, so despite what Houston Crest fan club thinks, the Hodges line of my family is from originally Charleston, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in the upstate of South Carolina. My dad's a Furman alum, so as college basketball started this year, I was a little more plugged into the, you know, Furmans, the Charleston Southerns, the College of Charleston, the Coastal Carolinas. Like, I follow these teams a little more than the average, you know, whatever. If you had asked me yesterday, Nate, there's a team in college basketball. I will not tell you who this team is. It's just a team. Mystery Team A.
Mystery team.
They are going to play a team of your choice. And if the mystery team loses, you face punishment of some sort. You could go with the mortgage route. You could go with more dire consequences that Davies pointed out earlier in the week.
The gun to the family's head.
Like, top of your head, Nate, you can't look at KenPom rankings and just pick the worst team. Top of your head right now on the spot, who are you picking? This team has to lose or you're dead. I would have said Charleston Southern. Out of all of college basketball. They lost at home, at their own gym, to Furman by 44. They lost on a neutral site to a team the other day I haven't heard of by 30-something. You got it pulled up, Billy? This is one of the worst teams in all of college basketball, and they just waltzed right into Columbia, Missouri, looked at Konzo Martin and said, "Give me that lunch money, Konzo.
Go get your shine box."
They lost to Southern Utah.
Southern Utah. If you had said, "Nate, is Southern Utah a university?" I'd been like, "Maybe? I don't know."
They
might have made that up.
They also have a loss to North Carolina A&T.
Their only two wins, if I'm not mistaken, coming into the game were against a team that's non-Division I.
Columbia International?
Yep, not a D1 program. And then their latest game, Delaware State, who's ranking, they're third from last, I think.
351.
In a 353.
Out of 353.
Yeah.
I mean, Michigan State only beat them by 48.
Say that again?
Michigan State beat Charleston Southern by 48.
Yeah. In the Breslin Center. Furman beat them by 44.
Very nice arena. It's
Southern Utah beat them by 35, 34, whatever it was.
Yeah, that one's 35, too.
I mean, you're losing to Southern Utah by 35 on a neutral floor. It wasn't even at their place. And then you go to Columbia, Missouri and win. And it wasn't even
not
that close.
Not to mention that Charleston Southern was playing. Well, is Maui on the mainland? I guess that's not actually at the resorts in Hawaii. I was going to say, if they had to travel and then they came all the way back.
Thought we said the bad teams at Maui still got to play at Maui. They just played other bad teams. Is that not true?
I don't know. It's called Maui on the mainland.
Oh, okay.
Well, that was at the Emerald Coast Classic. They got to play in that gym.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Maui on the mainland, obviously not.
Yeah,
Maui.
Yeah.
Yeah. But part of that brand, I guess. Huh.
Yeah, Charleston Southern, not good. Missouri, also not good.
I mean, what was Missouri projected coming into the season? Because I know, like, the last few years when they've had the brothers and all that stuff, I've kind of been more in tune this year.
Yeah, they don't have any of the Porter kids anymore.
I didn't check at all, like, by the way, Charleston Southern came into the game 352nd out of the 353 teams. At shooting threes, they knocked down 10 of 22 last night.
The old beat Tennessee plan.
Missouri went 4 of 26 from three.
In their own gym.
We have to really work on offensive flow to be better there, Missouri coach Konzo Martin said.
Oh, my God. I just had deja vu.
Sports Illustrated had Missouri coming in as the 10th best team in the SEC before the season started.
Go ahead and drop them down three or four spots there.
Yeah, they might beat Alabama.
Look, I don't like to victory lap the bad
despite
that is Konzo Martin. The point is not that, like, ha ha ha, he's a bad coach. The point is, like, this was the issue, and everyone tried to turn it into something that it wasn't.
Right.
Konzo Martin is a great guy, top shelf human being.
We have friends and know him, or friends with him.
Love the guy.
Yeah.
The reality is he's just not that great of a basketball coach. And Tennessee fans it was also weird, like the you know the petition and all that. That was to bring back Bruce, who, by the way, just went to a Final Four, pretty good coach. So it wasn't that like we hate Konzo Martin, fire him now and get anybody else. It was please bring back the best coach we've ever had, who happens to go to Auburn and now take him to a Final Four. Like we know basketball around here. Like we're not idiots. This had nothing to do with Konzo Martin being African American or any of that. It just had to do with we think this team is really good, and a lot of those players have hung around in the NBA and the G League since, or they've gone overseas and crushed people. And we felt like we were not getting the return on the athlete on the floor.
I don't like your take. That doesn't fit the national media's narrative.
Well, they should change their narrative because they wrong and we right. I mean, I get it. Like Missouri, actually, Missouri's been pretty good in basketball in years past. Mm-hmm. They got hit with some academic stuff with Haith, and I mean, he kind of
it's a pretty good area.
He kind of loaded the resume when he was like, "Yeah, I can come and I can bring the Porter twins, and it's going to be great, and I'm going to have all this talent." And was it Cali hired that kid's dad? Was it Missouri?
I thought it was Cal.
Okay, I'm just saying, like he kind of jukes a little bit, like, to get the job. But Cal, since he's left, is in the dumpster. Tennessee was in the dumpster right when he left. Missouri appears to be headed towards dumpster. Like, good guy, great player, not a great coach. And that was the only argument ever on the table. And yet, somehow, Dane O'Neill, Meyer Metcalf, Pat Forty, and others made Tennessee and Knoxville out to be this just bunch of just racist hillbillies who don't know a good coach when they see one. No, I think we do. I think we know good basketball when we see it. I think we know talented players when we see it. And when all of those things don't kind of pay the dividends that we think it should, we're willing to call out a spade. It was the same with Butch Jones. Liked him for a while. Then, boom, writing is on the wall. This guy, not good. It's over. Oh, they're going to run Butch Jones out of town. No, we don't want Chiano. He's awful. He's not going to get a job forever. 3 years later, he finally gets one with the same school that he left years ago because that's the only person that would touch him, the only school that will touch the guy. It's time that the national media, they need to extend Tennessee and Tennessee fans an apology. Hey, you know what? You guys were right. You're so much better off without Konzo. You're so much better off with Pruitt instead of Chiano.
We've had listeners do that to us about Butch Jones.
I was mad at the time. You were right.
We've had listeners say, hey, I didn't listen to you guys for 4 to 6 months because you guys were out on Butch Jones, and I thought he was – and I was wrong, and I hate I missed the show during that time, and I really appreciate what you guys do. I mean, for me, that takes more guts than anything. If one of these national media members did that, I'd actually be really impressed. But they won't.
Because
they're a bunch of little fake, just weak people.
Okay, so going back to Cal, 3 years, the 3 years before Konzo got there, Mike Montgomery was their head coach. They went 24-10, 21-12, 21-14. Konzo Martin arrives in the 2014-15 season. They go 18-15, no tournament. The next year he goes 23-11. They get knocked out in the first round of the tournament. His third and final year he went 21-13, and they get knocked out of the first round of the NIT tournament. After Konzo, they had the coach of Y. King Jones. He went 8-24, 8-23, and now Mark Fox is on his first year. Like, I mean, that program was just decimated after he left. Because after he left, too, he knew Jaylen Brown and Ivan Rabb were no longer going to be there.
Program killer.
Huh. The Mike Montgomery guy, he at least got them to the NCAA tournament 3 of his 5 years. No, 4 of his 6 years he got them there, and Konzo was only able to get them to the tournament once.
The Charleston Southern coach last night said, "I believe in celebrating wins, so our tradition is a water fight. I mean, we have a water fight. I had 2 gigantic cups of water, and I got them, but I was outnumbered 13-1, so I got drenched. And then we danced, and everybody danced, and we'll go get milkshakes tonight. We have a tradition. We get milkshakes, and it's been a long time since we got a milkshake against a Power 5 team, so that's going to taste really good."
That's actually kind of awesome. We had a water fight. I had 2 cups of water. because it was crazy in there. And then milkshakes. Cheers to him.
How does Missouri, like, the frustrating thing when Konzo was here is it was just so much defense, and, like, they never could score. Charleston Southern has scored in the 40s in four of its previous five losses, and they scored 45 and a half against a Konzo Martin team. I mean, if I'm the AD of Konzo Martin, like, and I've already kind of made that mistake, I'm looking for the offense. I'm like, Konzo, man, you got to figure out offense. It's kind of, you know, half of the game. You know, it's, the, you know, a penny saved is a penny earned, but a penny earned is a penny set. Like, you know, just score, and then you don't have to defend quite as. But when the defense starts falling apart, that's when I'm really worried about Konzo Martin, when they can't defend.
Yeah. Because scoring always going to be a problem.
Right. Yeah, like that.
Once
you hire him, you know that's a problem.
Missouri is shooting 25.4% from the three-point line this season. That ranks 336 out of 353.
Do you guys remember the back-to-back Georgetown and Virginia games in 2012?
Yes.
Yes.
37-36 is what you lost to Georgetown. That was the SEC Big East Challenge.
Uh-huh.
And then your next game, 6 days later, at Virginia, you lose 46-38.
Goodness. Missouri's got to go play Temple on the road on Saturday. I mean, it's not going to get easier. Like I said, Charleston Southern, one of the two worst teams I've seen play all year.
Again, this is less about dunking on Konzo and more about just proving that we were right again.
We'll come back again with more. Stick with us right here. It's hour two, three and out.
Pass out. Frank. Wake up. Frank. Fade it.
Now I done grew around some people living their life in bottles. Granddaddy had the golden flask. Backstroke every day in Chicago. Some people like the way it feels. Some people want to kill their soul.
Welcome back to three and out. 865-546-8200 is the number to join the program. Talking basketball now. And we got Philly on the horn as Tennessee takes on Florida A&M tonight. Talking a little Konzo, lost to Charleston Southern 68-60 last night.
Charleston Southern would be a 9-point favorite over Florida A&M, Tennessee's opponent tonight. Just wanted to throw that out there. In case you wanted to know how bad Florida A&M was.
Wow, that is rough.
Or what, 0-6?
Correct.
Man.
They've really got their losses out of the way.
Projection is Florida A&M to lose tonight to Tennessee, 79-50.
I mean, the line's 30.
So there you go.
It's only 30?
Yeah.
Florida A&M is 340 in the rankings out of 353.
But, I mean, like, I can understand that. We've
My
watched
guy
this
has them at 338,
team.
So about right.
We've watched them play. Okay. Like, we just don't look like a team that's just going to be blowing the doors off of people.
I mean, we've shown that potential. Like, second half of Murray State, that was the team that, against a team like Florida A&M, you would, you know, that could absolutely go, the score could be 100-50. But then you saw Florida State, and we knew that. New team, you know, everyone's kind of in a new role. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be off nights. I don't know, though. I don't see a line on this game. I think it's a...
Just a not on the board.
Yeah, too huge to worry about it.
All right, let's go to the phone lines and grab Philly. What's up, Phil? You're on three and out.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Philly.
Is Debbie going to sing Welcome to the Con Zone today?
You are now entering the Con Zone.
Guys, it's the third year at Missouri. It's the third year at Tennessee, third year at Cal. Then he'll, find him another job.
Well, his buyout right now is structured to where that I don't think they can technically fire him until after year four unless there's a show cause penalty.
Well, they can fire him. They just owe him $6 million?
I think it's more than that.
Oh, okay.
Well, what happens if he, you know, leaves and gets him a job? I mean,
no, yeah, no. He may owe them something, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, like, I mean, since they just fired Barry Odom, I don't think there's a way Missouri can raise the money to where they can fire another coach.
Well, you remember when the Konzo was here, the attendance wasn't very good.
No, because it's a boring brand of basketball. Yeah. And the only way boring basketball wins fans is if you win a bunch of games. And no, you wasn't doing that either.
It was Konzo's curtains, wasn't it, Philly?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give him credit about Stokes in here, even though Pearl started the recruitment of Stokes.
And wasn't he going to go, like, weren't there two other schools he would have gone to if they had had room for the midterm enrollee? Like,
well, Tiger High didn't even have a place
right,
for him.
Yeah, Memphis didn't have a place for him, and I think Florida wanted him but didn't have a spot.
Well, I think Kentucky was involved in
it. It might have been Kentucky. It might have been Kentucky.
And really, Richardson's the best player he brought in the whole time he was there.
Mm-hmm.
But he had enough talent to go to the tournament every year he was here, and he didn't do it.
I agree, 100%.
And, you know, we suffered there for 3 years, one under Donnie Tindall, even though he coached them up, and then Rick Barnes had to, you know, rebuild the program from the bottom up.
Yeah, I still don't think people understand how bad that roster was when Barnes got here. I know people were expecting the quick turnaround and five stars after five stars after five stars because of what he had recruited at Texas, but I think the national media hurt that too because they painted Knoxville and Tennessee as this racist town that hated Conzo only because he was an African American coach, and I think it took a little bit of time not only to get your locker room right, but to kind of prove to everyone that no, like this is everything's fine. They just were upset with basketball, but since you hired Rick Barnes and Conzo's gone to Cal and now Missouri, I mean, Tennessee fans being proven very, very right on exactly. Conzo Martin. Very right.
Yeah, the petition was right. I signed it, and I'm proud of it. I did. Bottom line is we should just get Buck Pearl and took the SoCals.
Yep.
Yeah.
I concur.
I mean, you basically show-caused yourself for 3 years anyway going Conzo and Tindall. Three out of those four, you didn't make the tournament. And
but if you were going to get somebody in here and knew what they're doing, they should have hired Rick Bird when they got rid of Pearl. Rick Bird would have kept the program in tournament every year, and it's been different type of basketball, but he's a real good coach.
Yeah. Rick Bird, head coach at Belmont, for those wondering.
I think he retired last year.
Yeah, he retired last year. But, you know, it's all revisionist history now. We got Rick Barnes, and I thank God Dave Hart did the only good thing he's ever done when he hired the guy.
Well, he does have a certain level of expertise.
It was a marriage made in heaven. Rick Barnes needed us, and we needed Rick Barnes. It's kind of weird, wasn't it?
Indeed.
Yep.
But Duke looked impressive last night, as much as I despise him.
Yeah, Davey's.
I almost went to that game, Philly.
He's been dancing around during breaks. Yeah. Very happy with Duke's performance last night. Coming off a loss to Stephen F. Austin.
No, it was off a win over Winthrop.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. No, you're going to be coming off of a loss to Stephen F. Austin all season.
Like I've said, they're a team that you never know who you're going to get any given night. But I appreciate your sentiment there, Philly.
Well, the Carey kid, I think, is better than the one who was there last year. Everybody gave so much hype to.
It's a different style of player, but yeah, you can't move him off the block, and he just basically dunks over people. He's a walking double double. He had, I think, 26 points in 24 minutes and 11 rebounds. Vernon Carey Jr. He almost went to Michigan State.
Well, Michigan State didn't look too hot, did they? They've had a lot of injuries and stuff, but ever since they had that. All that crap that went on up there with the football and basketball program, they haven't been the same, have they?
No, they haven't.
I mean, they made the Final Four last year.
Well, God.
But they... it kind of took a... It took a pretty special run. I don't know.
It's a Final Four.
I know, but it's also Michigan State. Like, they just do that. Oh, I mean, okay. Izzo's still a great coach. It just doesn't feel like the university has the same pop.
I'll give you football, Philly, because D'Antonio, had to have the AD come out and say, like, no, we're not firing him, give the vote of confidence, and it's not been looking good there. I mean, Izzo's not been the same. Yeah, they had that run, but I will agree to your point that it's just still not the same. Like, they're very fortunate Cassius Winston came back this year, because if he didn't, that team would really struggle. I mean, he's a great senior guard, and he's really going to be the reason they do anything if they have a deep run.
Well, Philly, they made a Final Four last year because Coach K didn't know. He choked down the stretch. He didn't put Duke in the right positions to win the game.
Didn't give it to Zion.
Well, really, Duke should have lost to
UCF,
Kentucky.
So it's a poor Dawkins basketball kid. Now, there's a lot of parity in basketball now. I mean, I guess it's a Conzo got beat last night. It's a living example of it.
Well, I don't know about you, Philly, but watching Michigan and Louisville, like, neither of those teams really blew me away. I mean, it's two pretty good basketball teams. I wasn't sitting there just, like, incredibly impressed with either of them from a top-to-bottom standpoint. I just don't think there's that – A, there's not that dominant star like Zion was last year. Like, he kind of took over all of the college basketball coverage. But I agree with you on the parity. Like, I think you're going to see I was telling the guys during the break, there have been – before this year, there had only been three 26-point underdogs to win in college basketball over the last 35 years. This year, we already have three. Stephen F. Austin over Duke, Evansville over Kentucky, and then last night, Charleston Southern over Missouri. Like, it's a very even game right now.
What was the final score of the Indiana-Florida State game last night?
80-64 Hoosiers.
Hmm. Well, I showed you what playing on your home floor does, plus I think Indiana, I watched the first half of that game. Indiana, I think, played four guards and one big in that game. And part of Tennessee's problem is we don't have enough ball handlers to get away from all the excessive pressure people are putting on us right now.
Not against teams like Florida State. Passing, dribbling, it was all an issue.
Yep.
Well, I won't give number two a break until after the bowl game and be nice about it because I'll slip Jamie Utah keep it going. See you.
Thanks, Philly.
Thanks for the call, Philly. We'll come back. Final segment. If you're on the phone line, hang tight. 865-546-8200. If you want to join in, stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Final segment, hour number two of the program. It's brought to you by Alumni Hall and AlumniHall.com. Proud video sponsor of 3 and Out. You can go back to the phone lines. You want to weigh in, 865-546-8200. Seth is up next. What's up, Seth? How you doing?
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Morning.
I'm getting the feeling that we need to win as many games as we can right now because the way Missouri played and we've seen Alabama and a lot of the other teams in the SEC, it's starting to look like.
Strength of schedule is going to take a hit.
Yeah.
Jeez, Konzo, you're still hurting the program.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good point.
Man, that brought back memories. And we were talking about the offense needs more flow. When Houston said that, gave him deja vu. I was like, oh, man. I remember seeing that Georgetown game, 36-38, and I was like, oh, man, that brought back some memories right there of a great team that got underutilized, you know?
That's what he does. I don't know how talented or not this Missouri team is, but – If they could be super talented, and I wouldn't know because the results are always the same.
Yeah, but, you know, I think you're going to have to win. You're going to have to beat. Didn't KenPom have us losing to Florida State anyway?
Yes.
I think about like 1 point.
Yeah, it was 1 point.
69-68.
And honestly,
that's
like,
really close.
If you've watched Florida State play, they do that to people. They're just an athletic team that just pressures the ball. That's how they've made like these deep runs in the tournament. They just get kind of hot from the 3-point line. I mean, they're just tall and long. I'm not really upset at all about that loss. And I'm not really upset at all that we weren't able to match up well, because more than likely you're probably not going to see them again. So you're not going to really have to worry about that length. And most teams, like, they are freakishly long.
They're the tallest team in,
and fast.
The tallest team in college basketball, Seth, was Florida State. Average height.
Oh, wow. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, but they're always like that. They just get up the floor. They like to run. The fact that we held them to 60 points, I mean, and we had assist-to-turnover ratio of like 5 to, was it 18 or 5 to
21
or something?
21.
Like 5 to 21, right there in the middle.
No bueno.
Yeah. So I think you got to win. You know, and I think this team can, but you've got to beat you got to beat the Memphises, the Wisconsins. You got to beat those teams here if you want to get higher than a 7 or 8 seed, in my opinion.
Just on that, Lenardi has not updated the latest bracketology. It goes back to November 22nd.
Okay. Yeah, I just think you got a 5 seed. Yeah, I just think you've got to win, you know, some of these games. If you go into SEC play and you've got 3 or 4 losses, because you've lost to Memphis and Wisconsin, maybe another team. You know, you go into SEC play. I don't feel like splitting the conference or even finishing with like 10 wins in conference is going to get you a higher than an 8 seed. I think you're probably looking at an 8 or 9 seed at that point.
No, and you, like you said, you've got some games coming up. Memphis is obviously they're not going to have Wiseman. Who's their other guy that's hurt, Davey?
Lester Quinoa's.
Lester's out. Then you got a game at Cincinnati. Again, Cincinnati, Wisconsin, not as good as maybe you thought they were, and Memphis probably not as good as we thought they'd be. But if you can get those wins, I think you'll be setting pretty going into league play. You do start league play with LSU. You do get them at home, and LSU, I can't tell what LSU is yet. But that's not going to be a bad win, no matter what it looks like. Then you go to Missouri, which I'm now thinking you might win by 50. South Carolina, at Georgia, at Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, and then you get the break to go to Kansas. That's an opportunity game there. But, you got to win these out-of-conference games right now. Got to start stacking wins.
Common opponent between Tennessee LSU is VCU. VCU beat LSU. 84-82.
At LSU, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
No, at VCU.
At VCU. Mm. So, I mean, it's pretty close. Boys. So, pretty close.
Transitive property.
There it is.
Transitive property, we're going to win.
3 points better.
Win bar. Yeah, three.
Well, and that's the thing is, I think the SEC has enough. I think there's some really bad teams. You know, Missouri, Alabama, you've got some really bad teams. I don't know what Ole Miss looks like. I would say that Ole Miss is probably right there as well. Mississippi State may be right there. But you've got some teams like LSU, Georgia even. I mean, I don't know if you guys got to check out Anthony Edwards that day. He just caught fire and scored like 30 points in the second half or something like that against...
They beat Division II Chaminade Michigan by three? State. Oh, that game.
No, they played Michigan State. They still lost.
No, it was Michigan State game.
But Edwards hit a three to give them the lead 80-77 over Chaminade, so they got to come home with a win.
They were tired.
Yeah, but Chaminade always plays that tournament at least halfway decent. That's their place anyway.
Home game.
So, I mean, they might lose, but they always seem to play teams well in that tournament. I mean, I think they've upset some teams there before, but, you know, I just think they could be another one that could kind of get you at some point.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Seth. Appreciate that. I'm looking at the SEC kind of the standings right now, because there aren't any standings yet in conference. But, I mean, you're going to have the games against Kentucky. You'll be fine for the resume. Auburn. You're right there kind of coin flipping, I think, with LSU. Arkansas has been better than expected. They're 8-0. They have had some close wins that haven't been as impressive lately, but I think Arkansas is exceeding expectations. But Vanderbilt's bad. Florida could be pretty good, but they're still way underperforming based on preseason expectations. True. I do think Georgia's dangerous. But I don't know how much that helps your strength of schedule. Ole Miss, probably as expected. Is that's who lost to Butler last night?
Yeah.
South Carolina's bad again. Missouri is obviously bad. Alabama's terrible. And Texas A&M has been worse than expected as well.
You all right?
So I don't think I don't think the conference is so awful that it's going to kill you on your resume or anything. I mean, you still have the top-end teams that are good and you're playing. But there are going to be games during this SEC schedule where you look at and you're like, man, we've got to win the next three out of these four because these three teams are so bad. If we lose, it's going to be a really poor loss. So there'll be a lot of there's going to be a lot of should win games on Tennessee's schedule. And then you'll play other teams that I think there'll be a lot of 50-50 type games in the middle to top of the SEC as well.
Yeah, you play LSU on the road, Ole Miss on the road, Mississippi State on the road. And then you should beat Alabama, Missouri.
Play Kansas on the road.
I was talking SEC, Florida on the road, Georgia, a scary team that you mentioned, and then you should beat A&M. So all your road games are, I guess you got three that you probably should win, and then the rest are 50-50 right now.
There you go. We'll come back. We'll kick off hour number three. Forgot to mention, Billy's eating his nacho cheese because he didn't.
No, he's eating nachos.
Oh, good.
Because he's dipping chips in them as a punishment. Nachos.
we'll discuss on the other side.